Welcome to the Chicago Gamepreneur Podcast. We'll talk to fellow entrepreneurs and share stories of success, failures, and epic failures in the quest to understand the business, art, and science of the indie revolution in the city of big shoulders.
Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Gamepreneur Show. We are, episode 15 now?
I think this might be 16.
16?
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting old. Anyway, I think...
We all measure our lives by podcast episodes.
Yeah. I've only got 16, like...
16, sweet 16.
Only got 20,000 left or something like that. I mean, I'm planning to lift 150, but...
Podcast episodes?
No, human years.
No.
but let's mix it up a little. Let's start with the sponsors.
Oh, yes. Good.
Right off the bat. So... we just got through tax season. I know that it must have been painful for some of you. And if you're looking to avoid some of that pain next year, let me recommend our guy, Ledger General.
Yep, Marty.
And Marty. Check his blog out at Pocket Marty. And if you call and mention the Chicago Games Premier Show, you will get a free half an hour counsel. And let me tell you, it is worth it. Come tax time, to have someone you can trust to just say, look, I've got a business to run. You take care of my taxes.
Ah, yes.
And let's talk about our other sponsor, InnoPrints. It is con season. Con season is upon us. And if you need flyers, business cards, t-shirts, whatever, you can get 15% off your first order if you use the code CGS.
Where do I use the code CGS?
InnoPrints.com. InnoPrints.com. For all your printing needs.
Excellent.
All right. So let's get kicked off.
Well, I'm pleased to introduce Michaela Padilla, who is a freelance voice artist, voice actress, voice actor. I don't know.
I just say voice artist. It seems very, general.
Yeah, that works.
When it comes to voice acting, there's really no way to label yourself as a voice actor or actress.
Mm-hmm. Because you could be doing male parts.
Mm-hmm. So
for
it's
a game or
interesting
cartoon.
It's very... there are many parts that you can really play. You can just stick to... weird monsters that can be your field.
Okay.
As a voice artist.
So you build this kind of sub niche instead of the voice acting community where if I need a monster
Be like, okay, cool. Give me this different kinds of sounds you can
I'm gonna
make.
Move the camera.
So you were saying you can build a niche.
Yeah. A lot of voice actors and voice actresses, they are purely action video games. They're really great with, doing commander-like characters. Or, for me, my characters are usually, mother characters. I do this tone that's more of, a mother tone where I drop an octave.
I'm sure you have a lot more range than that, but... is that just, a function of...
There's some voice artists, I'm still learning as a voice artist, and everything is a process, so you really have to be comfortable being outside of of your zone.
Gotcha.
So, why do you keep getting cast as the mom voice?
I don't know.
Do you have, a mom voice on your website?
I do have a mom demo. Well, so it's just, a lot of, oh, mom being angry, mom being comforting. So, it's weird. Some people find it.
I've never heard that
comforting.
Sound before. Mom being comforting. Just kidding, mom. She's cool. I'm sorry. Just a quick joke.
Mother's Day is coming up. I feel we should have the flower sponsor here.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I was just mentioning to Michaela that in the space there's gonna be a mom game jam. You make a game as a gift for your mom, and it's arcade themed this year. And I think they're gonna put all the games in an arcade cabinet.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, you should come and lend your voice to all the moms.
Yeah, you'll be the most popular person to be a mom game.
Bobby, stop it now.
No, I actually thought you meant like a game jam that like only moms could participate. And I was like, I'm fascinated by that.
That would be cool too.
That's kind of what I thought too.
Oh.
Well, when he
we'll get there. We got time.
We got time for this.
I was just like,
it's gonna be like Sex in the City, except it's more video games.
Oh, I thought you meant the theme of the games were gonna be like more Sex in the City. And I was like, well, that's weird. Why would you give your mom like a sex themed game?
Well, you know, Sex in the City was not like all about the sex.
It was
kind of
sometimes
like that lifestyle.
The city.
It's like Desperate Housewives. The show, not the reality show. But
right.
Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've never had like someone from the sound, the voice side of games in on the show before. So maybe you can describe, like, what's the process like on your side of it?
Oh, man.
A mysterious man in a limousine arrives at your house.
Basically.
With a briefcase. Right? No, how do you get hired?
He leaves a briefcase in the park, and you go and take the briefcase.
Yes.
At, yeah.
Public place, that's key.
See, I wish it happened like that. It'd be so easy. It's actually really hard getting yourself recognized. It's a lot of networking and a lot of just putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
First things first is building different kinds of demos.
Okay.
As a voice artist, you have to show that you have a range. So I can do like, lower kind of voices or be more like Bubbles kind of thing. Which she was the first like animated character that I kind of tried to
from the Powerpuff Girls?
From the Powerpuff
okay.
Girls. Tara Strong. She was like one of my favorite voice artists. Or female voice artists. So you really have to build a base for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, you go to like different sites like Voices 1-2-3 or...
That's pretty much it. Voices 1-2-3
seems
that's
like a good one
much
to me.
Is that like the Craigslist of voice acting? Or?
Kind of. It's a shiny.
Are there like people asking for like really shady things? Like, will you read this poem?
Oh man, if it was like that, it'd actually be really fun. But it's more of like people.
It would be fun if creepsters told you to
read
the seedy side of
voice acting.
Pick up
the phone and be like, "Hey, Edward, how are you today?"
I'm fine.
That's
the greatest day of my life.
I'm gonna hang up the phone now.
Edward, you require more pylons.
But yeah,
what
like,
game is that from? Is that
oh, this is StarCraft thing? Yeah.
Oh, StarCraft. It went right over my head.
There's actually a Cards Against Humanity card that says that on there, which is why it came to mind. I think.
I'm sorry, derailed again.
I'm just like, I really want to play Cards Against Humanity now. But the bigger, blacker box.
Yes.
I saw that. I was very impressed.
It's all Ryan. Those are pretty much all his games.
Fun trivia. I don't know if, well, this is a Chicago-based pod, but Cards Against Humanity is a Chicago-based firm. So.
That's true.
We should get those guys on sometime.
Yes.
All right. Continue.
That's
I'm sorry. We're all off like a tangent of a tangent of a tangent.
It's all good. I actually went to one of their.
So you were talking about pylons.
So yeah, you kind of get to like different sites. I volunteer as a voice artist for a lot of sites, so like Learning Alley, Learning
okay.
Ally. I read books for like.
Children's books kind of thing?
Mostly children's books, but it's like anything with books, newspapers, anything that needs to be read or would like to be read to like
visually
reading
impaired.
It. Yeah. Visually impaired or like little kids who still can't read. So like I do that and then I get known for that.
Awesome.
In some way.
So you build up your reputation, mm-hmm. and then you can kind of use that reputation to sell out further.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically for any
just time. Sell out more. just be a total sellout.
That's what we're all aiming for, I mean.
I'm waiting for my title to be Michaela Padilla Chicago Sellout. But it's just like any kind of like artist, anyone who wants to be in some kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration. I go to Columbia College, so... I collaborate with like a lot of the TV majors,
okay. Mm-hmm.
So I do some on film stuff there, and they kind of just cut out the film and just take the audio.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like any of the animation majors, they're fun to work with as well. So I have a friend who's doing McChicken Fried High, which is like an LGBT kind of animated series of. Kids who are of that community in high school and what life might struggles with.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be like, I don't know, like a carrot walking by. I'll be like, hey, Mom.
Oh, so it's all animated.
It's all animated.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So like, it's small parts like that.
So it's a queer carrot, or
it's a
we don't know.
Who knows?
Why label a carrot?
How does vegetable gender work? I'm actually curious.
I think
this
it's
now.
Pretty traditional, actually.
Okay, so there's a dad carrot and then a mom.
They're
carrot.
They're very conservative.
And when they love each other very much,
they make a baby carrot.
And the stork comes
just
and
like,
drops all the
baby
carrots.
You know, you can buy baby carrots.
That's right.
Oh man, that's
we're having a wild one.
I feel kind of bad, like, buying baby carrots now.
Because they're supporting heteronormative vegetable lifestyles?
That's, like, buying children for, like...
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Well, there's actually, Seth Rogen is making that adult, cartoon thing where the food is, like, so happy to be taken home by people... And then the lady, like, starts eating the baby carrots, and the player's like, they're children!
It's actually really funny if you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
It's also, like, completely filthy. Like, even the trailer is, like, full of, like, cursing and swearing. So I can't wait till some, like, parent takes their, like, six-year-old kid in to watch this thing and just... It's like the parents of Brother Kiss the Daredevil. Or sorry. The other guy in the red seat.
Deadpool.
And you're just like, what are you doing here? This is terrible.
Yeah, I sat next to him. Somebody who should not have been in there.
He just quietly judged him the whole movie. Like,
the pegging scene came, I was like, white knuckling it.
So, when you're first starting out, does it help to, like, pick characters and try to, like, mimic the voices or pick an actor?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
That's kind of... how you test out, you know, your vocal ranges.
Mm-hmm.
Most, like I said, when I first started out, it was bubbles, and I'm not really a high pitch, like, voice person, but the more practice that you try to impersonate a character or mimic, like, an actor or an actress, the more that you can kind of add to your group of
repertoire.
So
how does the practice work? Are you just like you in front of a mirror, or is it like you record it and then like listen back?
As far as like impressions?
Yeah, so if you're trying to build a character and try to get better at it, do you just practice the lines by yourself, or do you record it? Do you do it with other people?
When it comes to the characters that are already like made,
mm-hmm.
like say Bubbles or like Harley Quinn, I would listen to the voice actress and like keep listening and pinpoint like high pitches, low pitches. Okay, there's some kind of accent. Like Harley Quinn is kind of a Jersey.
Mr. J.
Like, ow! I was like, hey, Puddin. It's a lot of like listening to the voice.
Okay.
Repeating it back and trying to voice match it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bubbles is really hard because she's really high pitched. So it's kind of like, it's that's not fair. Like, did you guys know the professor? Did you guys know that the professor can fly? It's a lot of.
I missed that episode.
Oh, my favorite is Mojo Jojo when she kind of like becomes Mojo Jojo. I am Mojo Jojo, for Mojo Jojo is my name. You call me Mojo Jojo. But yeah, it's a lot of it's a lot of listening to that voice, and then
this is gonna be our best podcast.
Well, clearly, I mean, hands down, we can't continue.
And there's
this
like
this is like the podcast equivalent of like special effects.
Oh man, if I can beatbox like Police Academy, oh that'd be great.
Oh yeah,
like when he does a little like
the beeps, the sweeps.
And
the creeps from Spaceballs. Remember when that guy was in Spaceballs? Anyway.
I'm still trying to do that. I'm like, I can't. I'm not.
It's your like next stretch goal.
I can do. I can do an airplane landing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's just humming and whistling at the same time. Which is
but like,
tricky, but
whistling. Keeping that consistent whistle is pretty like that's some talent.
Thank you.
1747. I'm part of a voiceover for interactive gaming course, and he has us do like lip trills while we're doing like the stretches to go up and down. So it's really long. And there's a lot of techniques that you kind of have to try doing in order to, you know, make different characters or, actually, I really love this class, but the theories are kind of weird. So like, imagine a sound coming from your elbow or like imagine, or, we'll do the how do you die game where, we make scenarios and you have to scream accordingly to that, like, scenario or, like, die.
Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds amazing.
And then you make
can
a
we all try it? Can we all try it?
You want to?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the scenario? What's the cause of death here?
You're being eaten by dogs, obviously.
Eaten by dogs? Oh, that sounds like a bad one. Is it just, like...
And there's lasers firing.
So I'd be like, the laser burns my skin! My hand! It'd be, eaten!
Yes. Okay, you went for an exposition.
I usually narrate my death, it's just like a thing I do, but...
Like the model
me,
death.
Rob Lockhart! I never thought I could die this way!
In the moment, it'd probably be very, very inappropriate to repeat what I was saying, but...
His last words were, the laser, it burns my skin. It's in your obit.
That's true. In the 911 call. There was a comedian that had
the lasers and the dogs.
I think it was Chappelle had a bit about like 911 recordings are like always bad because you're not there to defend yourself. Because they like play it back at your funeral and you'd be like, I'm so scared, I peed myself a little. And you're not there to be like, no, guys, I was just kidding about that last part.
Yeah.
It's the last moment of truth.
So give me a death.
You're being run over by the L.
By the L.
By the L.
Which line? I'm just kidding.
The red line at 3 a.m.
Oh.
But it really does depend, because if you get run over by the brown line, like, it goes really slow.
You could maybe, like, try and outrun it.
No, it's the house of cards where someone has just pushed you and you're just...
Okay.
What? No, no!
That's little!
It got very high-pitched at the end.
Yeah. Again, wouldn't be there to defend myself at the pitch.
That's true.
A manly grunt, it's just not... It's not realistic for me.
No.
It's true. I feel like no one's dignified in that last moment, no. Right? No one keeps their composure that well.
Okay, Michaela.
Oh, I'm part of this game too?
Of course.
Okay.
You taught us the game. Now you must blow us out of the water. Let's see. Trash compactor.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Like Star Wars style trash compactor.
Okay. Shit. Okay.
It's closing in.
No. No! No! Just like crunch. It was one of the most interesting games I've played in the past. It really does kind of like, oh my gosh, how would this sound like realistically?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. That's why actors on screen, I'm just like, you died very well. Those, yes.
Yeah.
So now when you play video games, are you just completely focused on, you know, how the voice acting and what people sound like when they die and
stuff
like that?
Nowadays I am.
Okay.
If you've ever played this game, like The Broken Sword, it was like one of my favorite games. But then I actually listened to the actors and I'm like, wow, they suck. I was like, oh my god, okay. But like, I'm also very aware of like the script too. Huh. Like Portal 1,
mm-hmm.
Portal 2, really great.
Yeah.
Like, I never know. Like, I've never
heard
this before.
And,
mm-hmm. I thought it, like...
So was it, you think that the Broken Sword thing was the script's fault? That they just gave them, like, really dumb things to say?
I feel like... when I replayed it over the summer, it seems like it was one of those games that are in its first stages.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
script-wise and, like, actor-wise. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of... I mean, as a game, you want to direct the player so that, like, they know what's going on and they know what to do. So, it's kind of like, oh, I can't go there. I think I must need to... Like, oh, wait, well, what was his name? George was just like, I think I need to climb a wall in order to get there. Like, okay. Like, that
that's
wall?
Just, like, overly expository, yeah.
True. Besides Portal, any examples of games you think are really well done in terms of voice acting or writing?
Oh man. There was this game called, I think it was like White House, White Noise. It was a very creepy game, and I didn't know about it until this year when I actually like looked at the script, because we got game scripts. And
for class,
yeah.
Oh.
And it's actually is really like dark. I'm just like, this is really well written, and then trying to voice that, I'm just kind of like, okay, all right, I'm in love with the moonlight. I get it. I'm in, okay, cool. But
like Sokka,
kind of. Not really.
The Last Airbender is what I'm referencing here for listeners not in the know. Sokka falls in love with an embodied moonlight. You knew this already, because you're...
It's not... It's more of like a... Like... if I do not see you, then I will die, and blah, 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 and it's very dark. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it's just...
So on an eclipse, he's just dead.
He's just dead. He's just dead. I think he was like a murderer or something.
News.
I was like, okay, this is really cool, though. Another one would be, okay, I don't think it was really good, but I think it was,
yeah, we can give counterexamples too, like very, very bad words too.
let's light a candle instead of cursing the darkness. For some good.
Okay, Skylanders was pretty good as
okay.
far as, like, voice actors. Yeah. They're very verbal. When they do actions, it's actually pretty believable, and it's nice. It shows that there's a comical sense in, like, video game voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, like, there's a world that's desolate, being like, oh my god, what just happened? Or, like, over by the helipad, kind of thing. It's not all, like, army-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!
So do you feel that sometimes the roles are a little constrained? It feels like everyone's making the same video game or looking for the same type of voice acting?
I mean, for video games nowadays, at least the popular kind of games or the mainstream games,
mm-hmm.
they're all like army type or, you know,
right,
Grand
like
Theft
lots of
Auto.
Call of Duty type games, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So me not being that kind of like person, I'm just kind of like, okay, I can't really do those voices as well. I can do like a newbie recruit, but I can't be a chief. Well, I actually just did. I was trying out chief voices for my demo because soldiers are really hard to do. Being that like stone cold,
they're just always high energy and low emotion.
Yeah. So me being kind of like, what's an army type like line? Like,
get in line, maggots.
Get in line, maggots. Like, that sounds comical to me. If I were to say it. You kind of try to do with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do like, what was my chief? Manchley, if I can't get one more thing, like blah 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 blah, like, it'll be my career before yours. So like, it's weird. I'm not that good at. Like,
what if mom has to say get in line, maggots?
Oh man, like loving me?
Yeah.
Get in line, maggots.
I like that. I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
I'm making a character.
I feel like,
now.
Yeah. Why not have the soldier be a mom?
That's
there
true.
You go.
Yeah, there's no disqualification for being
a mom. I wonder
if,
like, realistically, if there was, like, a chief who's very mother-like, if soldiers would take her seriously. Or if it's one of those, like,
stern
moms.
I mean, I feel like real ones would. I don't know about video games.
Well, I mean, like, they'd be more stern. But, like, I'm thinking of, like, they loved me very much, kind of thing. Like, Bobby, go back in line, kind of thing. Like, that would be
interesting.
Yeah.
I think you can make it work with the right type of universe, right? It couldn't be the kind of authoritarian command structure that you usually have, but maybe more of a communal type army or setup like that.
That'd be interesting. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I think part of it is that the writing and the universe design does feel a little constrained. Like, we all write, like, the same game, right? Whereas there's
a
lot more...
stereotypes are, you know, kind of a starting place for a lot of writers, and then some people just never move on.
Right, you don't push yourself to get out of the stereotype, yeah.
Right. And by stereotype, I don't mean, like, a racial stereotype, necessarily. Although people have done that in games.
Speaking of racial stereotypes,
Oh, boy. I'm excited to see where this goes.
No, it's just, like, for voice actors and voice actresses, sometimes when you give their demo or you give a read, you don't get casted for the character that you're originally auditioning for. Like, they might think that you'd be good as an Asian woman, and you sound nothing like an
Asian
woman. Yeah.
I'll have you know.
No, I can see
to
that.
To everyone on the podcast, we should disclaim that you're not actually an Asian woman.
Yes, for those listening, Rob Lockhart, not an Asian lady name.
I feel a bit deceived.
You're ruining the fantasy for everyone.
One of my instructors and, like, one of my friends, Talon Beeson, he is, like, a professional voice actor, and he's been in a lot of, productions, so, like, GTA, he's in that, small characters, but, like, still pretty, like, noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
He plays different characters, and he's a Caucasian man, like,
mm-hmm.
he's pretty pale.
You can say white dude. It's fine.
I don't know.
We're not offended. In fact, white dudes are not offended by it, basically, anything. So,
hey, man, that's your word.
Not genuinely. I don't know. There's a lot of people who pretend to be offended by things like the word cracker, which has never offended anyone. And I've not believably to me.
I've never really like heard anyone say it just like, hey, you cracker. No. Have you?
I mean, yeah, I have, sure.
Okay.
But, like, that the idea that someone would be insulted by that is just silly to me.
It's more taking a front because, like,
the majority.
It's just a lot of people being kind of like, hey, we get oppressed too. Look at these words.
Nope, nope, you don't.
But yeah, like, he plays, like, it was a scene where there's, like, that rapper guy. He's, like, I think he was, like, a
I'm gonna
black
roll
monster
through
guy.
A bunch of rappers. You tell me what
that
is.
I don't know.
It
was,
did he say Jay-Z? No,
GTA,
I mean,
like...
Oh, it's a fake rapper.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was a rapper. I don't remember even, like, being on that level yet with, like, Grand Theft Auto 5. But, like, they're on a yacht, and he has to, like, get his daughter. And Talon plays,
so it's like Taken.
I know, I think so. I haven't gotten that far in the game, even though it's been, like, what, 2 years?
Yeah, we all have gamed it, so.
Yeah.
I did a speed run of Ocarina of Time. I'm still at, like, 3 hours. So,
speed run.
That's hard.
Yeah.
And he plays, like, a big jolly black man who's, like, on a yacht.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, I don't really see that voice as you, but hey, yeah, take what you can get.
So when you come in for a part, do you just read it? Or do they, like... The thing is, like, I can see, like, they just have a bunch of people read the part and they never, like, see faces. So that totally works, right?
It depends,
okay.
Really. If I'm doing a lot of commercial or, like the learning ally, they don't see what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely just voice. I'll send them a demo and they'll be like, okay, sounds kind of good. we'll try it. But there are some gigs where they have you come into the studio. They actually kind of get a sense of what you look like. They'll give you a random script and you'll just read it. And then they'll be like, okay, can you read it in like this kind of way?
Hmm.
Read it again. Sometimes they'll do like 3 takes, sometimes maybe more. But usually 3 takes or 2 takes, to see what kind of boundaries they can push. Voice-wise, you know, make her younger, make her meaner, make her more rascular, if that's a word.
Like wascally wabbits?
Wascally wabbits, yeah. they'll give you, like, okay, so what if this person has, like, a Minnesota accent or, like, has a lisp?
Mm.
Then, like, you try different kinds of...
Do you do a lot of accents and dialects?
I do some.
I won't put you on the spot if you're comfortable without preparation. I took an accents and dialects class, and basically what we learned to do was take a script, re-notate it in IPA, like the International Phonetic Alphabet, and then basically read the IPA.
Okay.
And it's different depending on the dialect. So it's like for Scottish, you'll like change the vowels to different things, and then you just read it. So like after I took that class, I told people like I just finished my accents class or whatever, and they'd be like, oh, do an accent, and be like, I can't do that.
You can't do it on the fly.
I need to like look at the.
It's hard. There are like trigger words. So like. For Irish accents, like farty, farty, farty tree, farty fire, like that's trigger word. I can't do
just
Irish
like
accents.
Generic Irish, farty, farty, farty.
Because that's kind of the common.
Oh, my shillelagh.
That's like the common kind, or like a southern drawl. They'll really draw it out.
I can tell you have a really good southern drawl.
I do a lot of southern drawls. I do a lot of southerns. It's I'll do kind of like a soft southern bell to more of like a Georgia. What are you doing here, Georgia?
That's deep sound.
it's fun to do deep sounds, deep voices. It's fun to kind of see what you can do with different sounds and like different, you know, like facial features. Say like he has a lisp or he has like a
tick.
tick. Like, that really has to come through with your voice. Mm. And it's fun when you're making characters. I was trying to make some, like, good animation characters to kind of see what I can do.
Take us through that process. Let's make some characters.
Sure.
So,
this is an audio medium, so I'm now, like, getting super pumped.
For one of my, like, animation classes, we did this exercise where you would make a sound and power through that sound to make a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, wait. Okay, that's a sound that you have. Like, I think of, like, okay, that sounds kind of like a duck, right?
Okay.
Is there something you wanted to ask me? Kind of like
it's like a point and click adventure where you just clicked on a duck.
Yeah, basically.
Awesome.
Almost like a mobster duck. Christopher Walken of ducks.
my bills know people. Wow.
Or like yawning noises, like ooh. I sing when I yawn, so I don't know.
It's like whale sound, like whale song.
Sometimes I kind of get sleepy and I don't really know what to do.
That's brilliant.
So that's kind of like the whole process when you...
I like how you added, I don't know what to call it, but when people... do this with their...
Oh, you like curl up your tongue kind of thing, and you're like, yeah.
The sound of, like, people with braces.
Yeah.
In cartoons.
lists.
I'm so full of joy and happiness.
And then, just, like, minor traits. Or even if you're lucky... Some people or, like, some employers will give you visual references to kind of build a voice from, build a character from. So, like...
Does that help to get, like, reference voices when you're...
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, because then when you think of, for example, like, Bubbles. When you think of Bubbles, you think of someone, like, really pure and cute. And she likes everything that has to do with unicorns and rainbows.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay.
Who doesn't?
Right. Don't we all just kind of like poop sparkle together?
I know I do.
So you're kind of thinking like, okay, a girl who's, what, maybe 5 years old. She's not five. I know she's like...
This kind of sounds like a five-year-old.
She does, because she's like a little girl who loves everything and is never mad.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of like a high-pitched girl. Okay, cool. What else? What's her character? Oh, she's very bubbly. Big eyes and just never gets like mad. I can't reach that far. With visual references.
I like visual.
Like that's my new like vocabulary.
It's like oral and visual. Visual. Crud.
Oral.
Crud, I did it. Now it's defined with itself in the definition. That's bad.
Oh no.
Cursive.
You're writing Wikipedia articles about your article.
I wonder sometimes, like, do you get asked to do, like, kind of gibberish, like, Simlish, or, like...
When you're kind of trying to... how do I word this? When you're walking out voices, like, you know, taking voices out for a walk, you're trying it out, they want you to do gibberish. They don't want you to think about words and think about making sentences. So when you're like, I don't know, sometimes they'll try to add on something. So they'll be like, derpa derpa chair, nama nama nair. Okay, trying to make it lower. Derpa derpa chair, nama nama nair. Like, or trying to make a list. That's hard. Derpa sherpa derpa chair, nama nama. And sometimes you just kind of have to like go with it. Words don't mean anything when it comes to voice acting.
Mm.
Technically.
It's all about intuition.
So, just to touch on, like, the business side quick, are you usually, like, is a contract for a number of lines, or is it you're on the project and it's kind of ad hoc?
You get paid for the amount of, so...
You're don't being, be embarrassed. We talk about what we make in, on these games. And
it's basically, like, one of those weird, like, agreements that you'll see on TV between two businesses, where you kind of try to hash out, okay, if I do this, you do that.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we'll just tell you. Sometimes you can kind of, like, what is it called? Counter-offering?
Yeah, yeah.
Negotiating.
Negotiating. There is that word.
I sense you're incredibly good at it.
I know. No.
I would like to counter thingy. No.
That's how I'm at stores, too. And then I'm just like, I end up paying full price. I'm like, hey, cool. What a deal.
Oh, man. I never haggle. I'm just like,
yeah, I'm terrible at it.
Sometimes at markets, you have to. That's a good practice.
Yeah,
I feel like me and Rob would be like, we'll pay you 5%, just not, don't interact with me. Just give me the thing, I'll give you
what
the
if
thing.
If I pay you more to not touch me.
Exactly.
that's terrible, I would never do that.
But there's to be suffering, like, a lot of times, like, even like calling someone on the phone, right, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to send an email or, you know,
that's
type
of
web
blog. You know Ramit Sethi?
Yes.
The like, personal finance guru guy. He like really hates that Americans never haggle, and like his parents are from India and they haggle for everything, and that's just like what's done. Like, nobody just says okay when you tell them the price.
Well, and his thing is like, you should try to haggle, right? It's like
it'll save you so much money, or gain you more money when you like ask for a raise or whatever. If you're
Well, he says like you're supposed to like every time you go into Starbucks or something, just ask for 10% off. Just go in like I want 10% off, and you'd be like, why? He's like, because I want 10%. You know, it's just like you build that up. Or it's like, oh, because I want to talk to your manager, or it's like, oh, because I once talked to the CEO. So it's like a way for you to kind of like get used to the negotiating process
and
figure out what
works.
Well.
Yeah,
that too. Get used to being called an idiot. So
it helps sometimes.
So I've never had the guts to try it, but apparently it's an exercise. I don't know.
I mean, it works as like for college students. That's kind of what we do.
Liquid U, I love it. I love the liquid you. Students. Alan Rickman.
Students. Gather round.
Leviosa.
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 But yeah, sometimes you get to kind of do that. But some businesses or companies will just pay you for like studio time and how many characters you might like do. If they decide that they want your voice for another kind of character that they just kind of like thought about, they'll be like, hey, we'll pay you like $200, and I'll be like, okay, cool, sounds good.
And now we cut to the like frame of the reality show where it's like cha-ching, $200.
So is it more just on a contract basis? Isn't it like you set your rate and the studio comes to you or anything like that?
You have an agent. It's
okay,
just
okay.
Like actors and actresses, you have an agent kind of deals.
Is there just like a specific voice actors union, or is it
there's
just
a
the SAG
union,
or,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
you're not
you should be part of the union until you're like super into the
right, because they have like a minimum that you can get paid, and you know
sometimes
that,
you don't get a
that
lot
prevents
of money.
You from getting work potentially,
right? Okay, that makes sense.
Freelancer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, union's kind of hard, but sometimes it saves you. I don't have, I only know like a few people who work. Or who are in the union. And they're just kind of like, just wait until maybe you're like 50 or something. Yeah, if you have a lot of experience with that, and you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that like once you're making like huge deals, they can help you and prevent you from getting screwed. But like before then, same thing with SAG, like, and AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, and
there are a lot of like ways for you to get screwed as a voice actor, mm-hmm. voice actress. Or
Do you have a horror
actress?
Story? Anonymized.
Okay. I've been smart.
Okay. Or advice for the new voice actors.
Yes.
There are certain people in LA that you should. Avoid, apparently, according to some people that I've met who've gotten screwed over.
Okay. We won't name names, I guess, unless you want to.
We do have that.
Okay.
The John Douchebag site, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll put the names on the John Douchebag site.
But they'll either like stiff you on money that you're making,
mm-hmm.
or the works that they're producing. Because
it's too costly to sue them, even if you have a contract.
Sometimes you don't even have a contract.
Well, you should never work without a contract.
Or, like, people you'll pay to make demos, they'll, like, charge you, a fortune, but the work that's being produced is garbage. Which is kind of why...
So you're talking about, like, people who do audio mixing and editing?
It's not
for
just...
For your demos? Or?
It's not just that, because anyone can mix demos.
Right, right.
I just
assumed you did it yourself, because, I mean, you're capable of doing the level of sound editing that's required for...
I do some, like, radio production.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... What I've kind of started when I was like, not exactly DJing, but we'll call it DJing.
Sure.
What do you mean? Wait, what could it be if it's not exactly DJing, but kind of like DJing? Is this obvious to you? And I'm
so
just not.
I had a DJ friend growing up, and he would like explain to me like the levels of DJing. So like live mixing is like a big thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, can you beat match? Can you like do things on the fly? And apparently, like, those guys are good at that, have a lot of disrespect for people who just, like, link tracks together and press play. So there's, like, this dichotomy between it. So
I see.
I mix tracks, though, so I'm, like, somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
So you pre-mix
them and then play it, or are you doing it live?
It's just basically, like, remixing. I don't do a lot of things live, because that's hard. when it comes to production, and you want to plan things out, it's like for musicians, you try to match different notes together. Like, okay, cool, there'd be a really cool scratch here. Oh, man, like, I don't know how to scratch. Okay, let's try to layer some other music on there. It's some pretty, like, non-basic stuff.
Right on.
Yeah. but yeah, like, it's anything from managing to production to even just marketing that you can pay people to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just get screwed over. And it sucks because you'll lose a lot of money. There are a lot of sites that in order for voice artists to kind of, you know, put themselves out there, it's a pay to play, where in order for me to, you know, put my demo there or do an audition, I actually have to pay like $200.
Cha-ching! $200 down.
Negative.
Yeah. We're at zero now.
Oh man, by the end of the
day. Yeah, I was about to say, like, marketing can be, like, really hit or miss. Because, like, I paid for marketing for my game. And I don't think the company did, like, a bad job. I think they, like, did the best they could. But it just wasn't the right marketing for my audience. So, I can just imagine, like, how bad it gets when someone's, like, maliciously trying to take money. Then it's really hard to be, like, accountable for marketing, right? Because it's, like... Yes, you can market, but there's no, like, guarantee on return, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's tricky.
It's hard to tell, like, even when a firm is trying their best.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start blaming yourself, like, oh,
that's right.
Maybe
yeah.
my thing
this
is too crappy.
So bad.
We need another demo. Oh, no. No, that's why a lot of, like, voice artists, they don't... They're not reliant on just voice acting.
Sure.
Unless you're, like, huge voice artists, like Mel Blanc or, like, Fontaine or Tara Strong, right? That's her name?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you can be a voice artist and just do that for the rest of your life because you kind of have it.
You're the voice,
so,
right?
It's
people
solid.
It.
You have a
yeah.
solid career there.
I think about, like, how Nolan North is, like, every dude in video games.
Yeah. He even took over for Peter Dinklage. When you're bigger than Dinklage. That's actually funny because, you know, sorry.
We get it.
But yeah, it's hard to kind of be that kind of voice. Because no one's going to be like Mont Blanc. No one's going to be like Fontaine.
Mm-hmm.
You can impersonate him, sure. Like, you can do the kind of voices that he does, but so can everyone else.
So the rock stars, do you think it's just they've done it for so long, or do they... Is it a combination of, like, being good and getting the right breaks?
It's a lot of... Well, like Fontaine, you know, in a world. He was the first
mm-hmm.
and, like, only one who did it very... Like,
I think he invented that phrase,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, even just keying that or having that kind of voice and being known for that voice, you can make a lot of money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then... experience, like Tara Strong, there are other voices that are very similar to hers, but she's been in the business for so long, and she's been in, like, a lot of productions, both animated, on screen, that her career is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her as Bubbles, her as, Harley Quinn in, like, Arkham, her as Timmy Turner.
Oh, man, she worked with Mark Hamill.
Yeah, like, it's cool. And then they get a lot of network from that. Because then they work with all these other famous people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all these other famous directors. And people want them, like, want to work with them because
mm-hmm.
of their experience in,
mm-hmm.
in that. Or,
sometimes, like, do you find that successful voice artists...
Mm-hmm.
are successful mostly because of range or because the character that they're good at is kind of a popular archetype? I know what my opinion is, but I want to hear yours.
I mean, it's a little bit of both because that popular character, that's what they're known for. So, of course, people will be like, oh my god, you're that person from that one show. I want you to try this one character for this, like, upcoming series that I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to.
I'm not just saying that the characters they've done are notable, but just, like, that type of character is popular among writers. Like, so for example, like, if you're the drill sergeant guy, like, you know, drill sergeants are everywhere. And
okay. Then definitely the range, because... You want to show that you can detach yourself from being that drill sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of surprises people. And they're just like, okay, I kind of want to work with you and see how this goes.
Right.
It's kind of like when you're having your... when you're giving people your demos, you have this, like, strong, confident... you have this, like, strong, confident intro, so you're just kind of like, hey, my name's Michaela Padilla, and then, like, voices that you can do, and
mm-hmm.
you're just like, okay, that's, like, completely different from, you know, that
mm-hmm.
voice that I just heard. Okay, alright, let's work with this.
So do you have, like, a master reel with, like, all the most diverse voices that you can do?
Whatever I can squeeze in, like, a minute and a half.
Okay.
Some voices are stronger than others, so definitely, like, I'll have my, like, Nanny Fine voice
oh,
on there.
Mr. Sheffield.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield. she's fun.
It's, you know, that's not too far off from a Harley.
No, it's not. She's just more screechy. It's really, it's like a Jewish accent. That's kind of just how I, like, think of
But not Woody Allen. It's a different, totally different accent.
It can work in just a little bit higher. It can work for like a really interesting Harley Quinn.
Wow, that would be a choice for a Harley Quinn that's like
definitely
a
mix.
Really indecisive. Mr. J.
Aww. I can just imagine her in like a cute little like dress.
I seem to have misplaced the explosives. This is not an audition tape for me, by the way.
I
just
like
carry away. You inspire me.
So, any advice for like us on the game development side on like what we can do
here
for
you?
Yep.
Lots of direction.
Okay.
You can, a lot of people that I've worked with, they'll give me a sort of, like, it's a sort of idea, let's call it that, of how they want the character to be like. But, I mean, each character has their own personality, has their own, like, little quirks. And the more information that we get, the more we can kind of build this character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This character's more timid, he walks with a limp, he kind of, like, twitches sometimes. And that really shines through with, especially when it's voice acting, it'll really shine through with the kind of voice that the actor or artist decides to go with. It's all very subtle, but it makes the voice.
Mm.
It makes it all very interesting.
Yeah, I contracted for some voice work recently for some of the stuff I'm doing with my game. And it helped that I had both, like, visual and like character descriptions that I could send over, and I think it turned out really well because like there was like a detailed backstory of like this is what this guy's life is, this is how he thinks of things, and like this is what he looks like, and then from that you can kind of like build a voice to attach to it. So,
and what's interesting is if you have like maybe 5 different people and you send them all of that information,
mm-hmm.
you get a different voice from each person because they all take it differently.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you can be like, oh, okay, this one actor kind of thought that he's maybe like a lost child who, you know, is very broken, while this other actor takes the more aggressive approach.
Mm.
So you get like different approaches and personality. And then you can kind of like pick. You have a nice little selection.
Smorgasbord.
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 Just roll that around.
It's kind of like we had this exercise of trying to say, what do you want from me? And like different expressions and different characters. And that, even like that simple sentence,
mm-hmm.
can
have a thousand meanings.
Yeah.
Now I can only think of the scene in Usual Suspects where like, give me the motherfucking keys, you motherfucking cocksucker. And they make all the guys read it.
Huh. Oh, yeah, for the lineup.
For the lineup.
It made me think of Good Will Hunting, like, it's not your fault.
That's
right.
It's not your fault. I know that. It's not your fault. Shut up. It's not your fault.
But yeah, and you can take it very far. It goes a long way. There we go. It goes a long way.
Awesome. Yeah, just
so we did do improv for this one. I was thinking about bringing 30 Second Game Jam back, but we'll save it for the next pod.
Okay.
But let's do the What Weird. It's our one recurring segment.
All right.
And the What Weird is just go ahead.
it's a moment in our show where we all talk about the media that we've been engaging with mostly as consumers, So,
right, because we're all media creators, but what do we take in?
Yeah. Well, what we are watching, reading, looking at in a museum. I don't know.
Yeah, that totally counts.
And, yeah, you can go first if you like.
Oh,
if you have something ready.
I don't.
Okay. So, what we're for this, I've actually, this will sound strange, but I've played some video games.
Say it ain't so.
I did grab the new Hearthstone expansion, which was a lot of fun. And then there's also a roguelite that I've been playing called Bunker Punks. And it's got a cyberpunk setting similar to Contract Work. But it's very like twitchy and shooty. But it's really well done. And I'm mining it for stuff that I could maybe borrow for Contract Work as well. So.
Be inspired by.
Inspiration, right?
Inspiration.
There are quotes for those of you just listening.
Great artist steal. That's not in quotes.
Although it is a quote. anyway. I read a comic, a self-contained comic called Ordinary recently.
Okay.
That was really, really interesting. It's about a world where something happens, we're not sure what exactly in the beginning, and then everyone starts getting superpowers. Everyone. Like, in the world.
Oh. So there's no, like, discrimination. There's no, like, you're special and I'm not. It's
right,
like,
exactly.
Okay.
Everyone in the world gets weird, wacky superpowers, and they often have to do with the person's, like, personality or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
Except for one guy. One guy doesn't get any superpowers, and so he's the most special person on Earth because he's normal. Because
he's ordinary.
And people try and kill him, and people try and, like, get his blood so they can make, like, a serum for curing the superpower epidemic. Yeah, it's really fascinating story, and I don't want to say how it ends. Yeah, check it out, Ordinary.
Okay.
Ordinary.
Yes.
Well, media-wise, I actually just finished a class called Race, Culture, and Media. So, I don't know if this is, you know, kind of like puts into, no, maybe.
Oh,
we'll
totally,
see.
Totally.
Yeah,
what have you been watching and reading?
We've been looking at, like, how things are marketed lately.
Okay.
And, what marketers use to, like, lure in. Okay, lure is not, that's a bad
sure,
one.
That's fine, advertising.
Bring in people, and it's a lot of, like, when you're thinking of, like, high-end products, they sexualize everything, or they, like, use stereotypes to their advantage, and we were having a discussion of, you know, as media influencers, what can we do to change the way things are portrayed in media. So, like, in marketing, how is, like, gender portrayed? How is sexuality, disability, age? And it's just kind of like, how can we make everything more
equitable?
Basically, and more positive. So, we were talking a lot about, like, beauty and how in video games, especially anything with, like, females, Mortal Kombat, so we'll just plug that in there.
I think, like, even it's interesting to me, not just the, like, sexualization of female video game characters, of course that's, like,
that's
the number
big.
One thing that jumps out at you, but also people have brought my attention to the fact that male characters in video games are, like, very diverse in body proportions. So, like, they'll be, like, the big fat dude, and then they'll be, like, the skinny wispy guy, and then they'll be, like, the short, squat little gnome dude, and then they'll be, like, the leading man muscular hero, and then they'll be, like, all these different body types, and then all the women look the same. They're
right,
just,
you
like,
could all fit them in, like, the same silhouette.
Exactly.
And, like, maybe they're
just,
still
like,
up
a
and
blonde
down.
And a brunette, but
right.
they're the same
I think, like,
proportions.
Video game wise, for females, the only kind of characters that you get that aren't, like, in that area, would be, like, Annie, I think her name is Annie, from, Tekken. She's, like, a cutesy kind of girl. Mm. As opposed to, you know, Mortal Kombat characters where they're more in, like, skimpy suits.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a police woman, but no police woman looks like that. let's be real.
Uh-huh.
So they're either, like, super sexual or...
Not to insult
really
police
cute.
Officers.
No! Okay. Rizzoli and Isles, they look pretty nice. Murdered Scully.
Murder and Scully. The Death Files, I think there that show is called.
It's a spinoff. Coming to Netflix soon.
But yeah, like, they're more real. They don't go in, like, midriffs to work. That'd be an interesting.
Yeah, there was a good article, I think, in Gamasutra about, like, how the female armor portrayal is always wrong. Because, like, they kind of, like, add, like, the almost the boobs onto the armor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you would never want that because that's, like, where, like, swords could catch.
Yeah.
Or, like, their weak spots for arrows. So, really, it would just, like, look like a regular breastplate.
Well, not to push back too hard on
sure.
that, but, I was a fencer, and there are female breastplates that lady fencers use, and they're not, like, you know, they don't have hard edges. They're
mm-hmm.
just very smoothed out, kind of the way, like a hockey mask kind of
yeah.
smooths out the facial features.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, as a woman, you don't want, like, if it's just straight on, everything kind of moves, so you're just kind of like, that hurts too, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind, let me just take this off. You want something that just, like,
it's not a metal bra for sure.
Yeah,
right.
Mm. But that'd be really cool. Kind of like the steel toe.
Wouldn't it be super heavy?
I mean, that's a sacrifice I have to make.
I guess Princess Leia is, like, everyone's vision of the metal bra.
I was thinking more of just kind of, like, it would be, like, my own little, like, bulletproof vest.
I see what you're
saying.
That'd
be cool,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No?
I get it. I was thinking more fantasy. Well, as usual. Anyway.
So should we plug... So the Indy City Co-op website is up now?
Yes, it is. IndyCityCoop.com.
Very cool.
And Rob, what can we find on IndyCityCoop.com?
Basically, the location and contact information if you want to come work with me and a bunch of other cool people like Trinket Studios and Men Wear Many Hats and many, many other studios.
And the horses are just down the hall.
The horses
right?
are down the hall. Yeah, if you're in Chicago and you're a game dev, and you want to hang out with at the cool kids table, this is it.
Wait, let's just backtrack there. The horses?
Yeah, the young horses that made Octodad.
Oh, okay.
They're
I thought you meant literal horses.
yeah, there's
lots of ponies.
Friday.
Speaking of marketing,
that would be a lie.
And then, Michaela, do you have a Twitter or a website you'd like to plug?
How can we hire you to do voice acting if someone listening?
You can
listening...
see me at Voices 1, 2, 3. I do have a website that is... I just switched from michaelapadilla.com to a new website that I'm still under wraps in, But it will be MichaelaPadilla.com once it's done this month.
Yeah, we'll post it on
there. But if you want to see what it looks like under construction, you can go to MichaelaPadilla.wix.com/Mickey, M-I-K-Y. All
right, we'll try to get that up on the Facebook. Any Twitter or...
Twitter is at MickeyLessThan3, which is M-I-K-Y-L-E-S-S-T-H-A-N. The number 3. I put on a lot of I share a lot of videos for other voice artists that kind of want to try out different voices or show the progression of people that I've met from the beginning when I first met them as voice artists and
awesome.
How advanced they've become.
Very cool. we'll throw that on the page as well. So
that'll be great.
And I'm Kiwon Hong at Kiwon Hong. My game is Contract Work on Facebook at Contract Work Game.
And I'm Rob Lockhart. My Twitter is at Bobby Locks, BobbyLox. And my game is Codemancer. It's coming soon. Codemancergame.com.
And you can watch Rob code it on Twitch.
That's true. Ooh. I'm on Twitch every now and again, sporadically.
I'm usually just on
Twitch. If you follow me on Twitter, I'll tweet every time I am about to stream. Unfortunately, I don't have a regular routine yet. That's how you get
used. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Someday.
All right, thanks everyone.
Sweet.
My game is real life.
The game of hard knocks.
Thanks for tuning in the Chicago Gamepreneur Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show and hope you'll be back again to share more stories from Sweet Home Chicago.